This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, indeed. We reset the show here at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. My man Chris Ello is out today doing the women's Aztec basketball game. But my man Matt Scraby is sitting alongside as the co-chair with me today on Gwynn and Chris. Had some big NBA news just come across. I think this would be defined as a Woj bomb. Indeed, it has. Houston Rockets have agreed to trade Russell Westbrook to the Washington Wizards for John Wall and a first-round pick, according to Adrian, we'll just say Woj. I don't want to butcher his last name, as I have become accustomed to doing some people's names. So Woj just delivered another bomb. I don't know what this means for either team. Russell Westbrook will now have Bradley Beal in his backcourt. James Harden will now have John Wall in his backcourt. Who knows how that turns out, because last time we checked, James Harden was looking to be on the move. We'll talk about it a little bit in the next break. Chris, Matt, you're pointing to yourself. What were you pointing to yourself for?
Oh, I was going to say I can bring on our guest.
Oh, why don't you go ahead and bring on our guest then?
On the SDCCU Fan Hotline is the host of You Better You Bet and Radio.com sports betting expert Nick Kostos. Nick is brought to you by BetRivers.net. Go to BetRivers.net and sign up for the free $5,000 weekly pick'em contest. Nick, thanks so much for coming on the show. Tony just announced it right now that Russell Westbrook has been traded to the Washington Wizards. What's your immediate reaction for the betting world on that? I need to hit his button.
People of San Diego.
Sorry, Nick.
Nick, we didn't have you on there. He didn't hit the button. So
yeah,
whatever
please.
You were saying was not coming through air. Sorry.
Okay, yeah. It was just the pleasantries. Great to be on with you guys, Gravy and Tony. Thanks for having
me
here. And great people of San Diego. My instant reaction is you can't make the Houston Rockets win total low enough for me to bet the over. I would bet the under no matter what it is. This team is going to be, and it's not even so much like an indictment of John Wall. It's just this is an absolute nightmare situation right now for the Rockets. Like, is James Harden going to be there? Or is he not going to be there? Like, and if he is, does he give a damn? Is he going to care at all? Eric Gordon's talking to reporters going, you're going to have to ask James when asked, like, is Harden going to be here? Like, that doesn't sound like it's fun. Well, Stephen Silas is a really regarded, like, young head coach, Paul's son, and, like, could ultimately do a really nice job. Like, this is an impossible situation that he's got to deal with right now. And Tillman Fertitta has kind of poisoned this entire deal in Houston. Like, you have an owner who's kind of driven the stars away, right? No one wants to play there now. He's got no money. You're in a loaded Western Conference, right, where I think you can make an intelligent case that, like, pretty much every team, maybe with the exception of, like, Oklahoma City, who's, like, actively, like, trying to get better in a couple of years, like, maybe not so much now. Houston may be the worst team in the West next year. Maybe I'm forgetting one. Like, I actually think Sacramento's going to be better. I may be forgetting one team. But, like, Houston is going to be horrendous this year. Again, you can't make that win total low enough for me to bet the over. If it were 15, I would still take the under.
Yeah, no, this is the worst situation you could possibly be in for a first-time head coach looking to make a name for himself. You get a disgruntled superstar possibly, and a guy that just got traded from another squad. We'll see how that plays out. But, Nick, I got to ask you, in general, just in the betting world, how difficult or what kind of advice can you give during this COVID world that we're in? So many players in and out. How do you approach these matchups?
Well, I think it kind of, you know, it depends on the sport, obviously. And I try to stay away from, like, blanket proclamations and when it comes to stuff like this. I think you almost have to take everything on a case-by-case basis and, like, kind of handicap each game individually. And, like, you do have to be kind of up on the information because things change rapidly. And we haven't seen a ton of this in the National Football League this season until recently. College football is such a cluster, you know what, that, like, I've kind of stayed away from college football largely this season because, like, that's really
smart,
nothing.
Man.
Games will get canceled the night before, right? But,
right.
like, in the NFL, like, today, for instance, right, like, Marquise Pouncey is ruled out, like, 2 hours before the game placed on the COVID list. And you're like, what? Like, where did that come from? Like, we knew about everyone else that was going to – like, J.K. Dobbins and Mark Ingram are activated, like, are clear to COVID protocols, but then don't play in the game. But, like, this information's all out there. So, like, you just kind of have to be really up on it and really make sure that you're educated with this stuff. And I think, you know, especially when it comes to the NFL, which I think is what most people are really interested in betting, like, I think there always needs to be an emphasis on the injury report. And, like, you should never be betting an NFL game without looking at the injury report first. Even if you're, like, the most casual of bettors, you never want to be stuck, like, with money on a game and be like, oh, the best pass rusher isn't playing, and I didn't know that. And I think that especially becomes prevalent now and important now, given the COVID situations as well. So really just be up on the information, but you know, handicap each game as they come. Like, everything's its own individual entity, and then you go from there.
Nick Costos here with us on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. My friends and family are not going to be too happy to hear this, but I dabbled in the daily fantasy over the weekend, and I was hooked. I loved it. I loved every part of it. Now, for someone like me who's starting, and I kind of want to get into the prop bets as well, can you give us a little, like, starting a beginner's guide to what we should be doing? Because I don't really bet ever, but I did this weekend. I loved it. I won money. I'm not going to bet big. I'm promising everyone out there I'm not going to bet big. What is your advice to me?
You don't have to promise me. I don't care if you bet bigger or not.
Yeah, I know you don't.
I mean, it's whatever. You don't have to apologize to anyone. Do whatever you want. Who cares? Here's what I would say about that. So when it comes to prop bets, and I have had, just for people out there listening who may or may not follow me on Twitter or listen to You Better, You Bet at the Costos on Twitter, I've kind of earned the moniker. I don't know if I've earned it, but people have called me it. You can't come up with your own nicknames, obviously, but I've been called this, the prop king this year because the props have been good this year for me in the National Football League. So, this is what I would tell people, and I think that unlike, like, actual betting on games, a little bit with totals as it concerns overs and unders, like, fantasy football analysis actually dovetails into the prop market, I think really well. And where the prop market differs, I think, from regular betting, like betting on games, and it does kind of factor into games as well, but just, like, if a cornerback, like, ex-cornerback is out for this team, so, like, Bryce Callahan is going to be out for the Denver Broncos on Sunday, right? Like, they placed him on injured reserve today with their slot cornerback. Like, we knew the Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs were going to annihilate them anyway, but now we know, like, the middle of the field is going to be extra soft for Travis Kelce. So it's almost like you can't make that number high enough for Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and company.
Right.
I don't know if that's a great example, but I think here's really the best way to answer that question. What you don't want to do is kind of be like, okay, like, X receiver is great, Y defense is bad, so I'm going to bet X receiver to go over. Because chances are, look, and that bet may win. It also may lose. Because it's being lined properly. Like, sports books are going to line that properly. Like, they're lining it like it's a great receiver against a bad defense. So you could win. But it's not like you're – it's like a really, like, a bet where you have a huge edge on, right? So what I try and do is try to – and it does require some legwork, right? A little elbow grease, right? Where you try to, you know, ascertain situations – where you can catch a player on, like, an upward or downward arc. And I want to give you two quick examples. So Antonio Gibson on Thanksgiving against the Cowboys, his rushing prop was 56.5. Now, in the couple Alex Smith starts that we saw prior to Thanksgiving, when they had been playing in negative game scripts, which is like you're losing the game, right? So you're in catch-up mode. J.D. McKissic, who's like their third down scat back, had been on the field much more often than Antonio Gibson because you're throwing on every play, right? But when they are in positive game scripts, which is like they're winning, or neutral game script where the game is tied, Antonio Gibson's on the field constantly, and they're running the ball. Now, they're a 2.5-point underdog in Dallas. I felt like the game was going to be close. Maybe they don't win the game, but it's not like they're going to be getting blown out and have to throw on every play. And Gibson had gone for 20 and 128 in week 7 against the Dallas Cowboys defense, and the Cowboys are a terrible run defense. Like, that's like, okay, well, I think we're on to something here with Antonio Gibson. Of course, he has the 3 touchdowns. This past Sunday, Wayne Gallman and the New York Giants on the road in Cincinnati. You know, the Giants had really only been in positive game script literally once the entire season, and it was before their bye against the Philadelphia Eagles. They leaned on Gallman, game 18 carries, 53 yards. Well, you knew they were going to be in positive game script against the Bengals, a six-point road favorite, only won by two, but they're ahead the entire game or the game's close. Gallman ends up with 20-something carries for 94 yards against a bad Bengals defense, like 18 for 53 against a good rush defense in Philly. What's he going to do with 18 carries against a bad rush defense? And the total was laughably low. So it's almost like situations like that, as opposed to like Devontae Adams is great and the Texans defense stinks, so Adams over. Like, okay, maybe you win that, but you really want to try and find an edge. And like, and look, even like bets like that don't always win, but I feel like those are kind of the smartest bets to try and find, right? It's like guys on an upward swing, or conversely, you can get guys on downward swing as well and bet unders. And I think those are the real sharp prop bets to make.
Nick Costos, Radio.com sports betting expert, joins us here on the SDCCU Fan Hotline. You can catch him on You Better, You Bet. And, Nick, I got to ask you, since we're on talking NFL, what are some of the games you're looking at for Week 13?
All right, so I think we actually have an interesting one, and you guys may be able to appreciate this. And I actually, let me ask you guys a question, and then I promise I'll answer this here. So, like, do the people in San Diego, do you guys, like, root for the Chargers still, or are, like, the Chargers dead to, like, collectively, like San
they're,
Diego?
They're, everybody's hate-watching the Chargers pretty much down there.
Well, here's the good news for you guys. The entire nation is hate-watching the Chargers because this team does inexplicable things on a weekly basis. So it's actually – it's a really interesting handicap for this game as the Chargers host the Patriots on Sunday, where there is no question the Chargers are better, right? Like, the talent on the field is not close. The Chargers are a better team than the Patriots. But the Patriots have such an unbelievable coaching advantage in this game, where you have literally the greatest coach of all time against a guy who, like, couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag in Anthony Lynn. Like, the end of that game against Buffalo on Sunday, like, will be analyzed by scientists 10,000 years in the future, and they're still not going to be able to figure out what the hell the Chargers were doing. So I think I like the Patriots, which is crazy to think because it's a pick 'em, or the Patriots are a short favorite here. The Chargers should be -3 in this game, but I think everyone's like, we can't have this because the Chargers continually screw it up. So I do like the Patriots there as a one-point favorite right now, or close to a pick 'em over at Bet Rivers. I'm on the road in L.A. against the Chargers. Some other games that I like. I will need a little more injury information here. So, yeah, we're doing this on Wednesday night. We have two more injury reports to go. So I don't really like try to like lock a lot of stuff in until Friday, but right. I can give you kind of where my head's at right now. So Myles Garrett looks like he's going to be back for the Cleveland Browns. I want to see about Denzel Ward, if he's going to be back for Cleveland.
Cornerback,
almost whether he is or not, though. I think this number is too high for the Titans hosting the Browns on Sunday. Tennessee's a 5.5-point favorite. We've also seen this number touch 6 at points this week. And I get it why people are kind of into Tennessee. The last couple weeks, they've been absolutely dominating teams on the ground. 2 weeks ago against the Ravens. Last week against the Indianapolis Colts. And Derrick Henry's great. But we also have to consider that 2 weeks ago in that game against Baltimore, sure, Henry had a great game, but the Ravens were also down Brandon Williams and Calais Campbell, and they ran right at the heart of the defense. And then last week against the Colts, like, yeah, he was great, but like DeForest Buckner, DeNico Autry, and Bobby Okereke, you know, three of their best defensive players, Buckner, one of the like 10 best defensive players in football, all don't play. And now you're going up against a Browns run defense that's pretty good. And if Myles Garrett is there, like, I think this number is way too high. The Titans defense is still really bad. It's going to be Chubb, and it's going to be Kareem Hunt. I don't know if the Browns are going to win, but I think this number should be 3. And we're getting 5.5 or 6. So I'm going to take the points with the Cleveland Browns, and I'm going to feel really good about that one. I am going to tease the Raiders. I don't want to lay 7.5 with the Raiders on the road with the Jets because I don't trust John Gruden. Gets way too conservative for my liking. But I do think the Raiders should be able to win that game, so you can tease the Raiders down from 7.5 to 1.5, and I really like that. I think the Dolphins should absolutely stomp the Cincinnati Bengals. Miami's an 11.5-point favorite. I actually think this number should be like 14. So I think we are getting some value with Miami. Like, how's Cincinnati going to score? And people will look, oh, well, Cincinnati was frisky against the Giants last week, only lost by 2. Like, they needed 103-yard kick return touchdowns, like, keep that game close. Like, that ain't going to happen against a really well-coached special teams with Brian Flores and the Dolphins. So a definite play for me on Miami against Cincinnati. I kind of like Detroit as well, but I need injury information there. Kind of like the Eagles, God have mercy on my soul, +9 in Green Bay. I guess that's kind of it for right now.
Nick, I got to say, man, every time we have you on the show, I feel like my betting chops have gotten a little bit sharper. We're going to need to get you on here more often. We appreciate you coming on and giving us your expertise, Nick. Thanks for coming on.
Tony and Scraby, appreciate you guys having me. Wishing you guys and all the great listeners in San Diego minimal sweats, winning bets, and the absolute very best of luck.
Thank you.
Indeed. That was the host of You Better, You Bet, and Radio.com sports betting expert Nick Kostos. Nick is brought to you by, is brought to us by BetRivers.net. Go to BetRivers.net and sign up for the free $5,000 weekly pick'em contest. And as always, by SDCCU. Double payback days are here. Use your SDCCU debit or credit card, and you could win up to $1,000. No purchase necessary. For details, visit SDCCU.com. All right, we're going to get to break. Get you some traffic. When we come back, we have the remaining moves that the Padres made today at the non-tender deadline, which just ended about 15 minutes ago. We'll explain when we return. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Gwen and Chris, it is Wednesday. Don't be confused. We had an NFL game earlier today, and it was for real. The Steelers beat the Ravens 19-14. We also have a Aztecs basketball game tonight. The men are starting at 6 p.m., and they are taking on the St. Catherine Firebirds.
Okay, so let's, we need to,
I don't want to do this.
No, we need to do it.
I don't want to do it.
I don't know exactly how the information came, because I was informed about it during today's show.
Through me.
Through Scraby, who the women's basketball team was playing. And Scraby, you told me that team was?
St. Catherine.
Yeah, St. Catherine. That turns out to be completely false. San Diego State women's basketball team lost tonight 75-71 to California Baptist. Now, Scrap, I don't know where you got what was the name of the team again? St. Catherine. I'm not sure where you got that from, but completely wrong.
Well, we on the show mentioned it a few times yesterday. The voice of San Diego State women's basketball. He's probably listening right now. We said St. Catherine a few times yesterday, so that was
so the men are taking on St. Catherine.
They definitely are. I quadruple checked it. They start at 6 p.m.
And the women, unfortunately, fell to California Baptist 75-71.
Mm-hmm.
Mountain West Conference Player of the Week, Sophia Ramos, led the Aztecs with 26 points. However, as I mentioned, they would go down to California Baptist. All right, so men's team getting ready to tip off here shortly. We do have an update on the Padres. We mentioned this before we went to break, and we had caught the wind of the major moves that were anticipated. Tommy Pham was tendered a contract. We found out that Greg Garcia was not tendered a contract. Matt Strom came to an agreement prior to getting to arbitration, so he's locked in. The other names mentioned, in addition to Tommy Pham, Dan Altavilla will be back as a Padre. Zach Davies also tendered a contract. Denelson Lament and Emilio Pagan all were tendered contracts. That's now all 39 of the players on the Padres 40-man roster have either signed or been tendered a contract. So there's only one spot remaining on that 40-man roster. We'll see how they decide to use it.
When they tender a contract, does that mean... It doesn't mean it's a done deal, right? The player has to accept that contract that they tender?
Yes, the player will accept it because that means they're on their way to arbitration.
Okay.
Or at least negotiating before you get to an actual arbitration hearing.
So technically... technically the Padres have...
you will be offered, once you are tendered a contract, you will be offered a contract at some point. It's just depending on the process.
Gotcha, okay.
It's not as though you're a free agent. You are kind of in that, you're under six, over three, meaning under 6 years of service time, over 3 years, team has to decide to tender you a contract. If they decide not to, like they did in the case of Greg Garcia, you become a free agent earlier than the 6 years that it normally takes.
Is that a player-friendly process?
It can be. It can. Sometimes it works out. For instance, a guy like Tommy Pham, who is going to probably get somewhere between $8-10 million, There's no guarantee that if he was non-tendered that he would get that same type of money on the free agent market right now. So in that case, it could be it could not be as player friendly. But in a case where you don't get tendered a contract, right, and you go out and you make some money on the free agent line, it just depends on what type of player, where you're at, how much you were expected to get in arbitration. But all of those guys we mentioned, the five guys I think it was that we mentioned, will all be tendered a contract. At what number, we don't know yet.
That sounds like such a confusing process.
It is. It's
not fan-friendly, let me tell you. It's not fan-friendly.
It is a bit of a confusing for sure. I was going to ask you about this this John Wall Russell Westbrook trade. It really makes no sense to me. I mean,
my first question is, why does Russell Westbrook keep getting traded? Is he a bad teammate? Is he hard to deal with?
He's only been traded once, right? Prior to this time, Thunder to the Rockets.
I should take that back. He's always in trade rumors.
Right. Well, I think he's a unique player. He obviously is a walking triple double, but in today's NBA, he doesn't shoot the ball that well, which is almost a necessity in the way the game is played. I'm not 100% sure. I think Russell Westbrook is one of the best players in the league in terms of what he does night in and night out. But it also has to come a point where he can fit in to what an offense is trying to do. And I think for the most part, he was able to do that with the Rockets. It just, when he's not shooting the ball well, he becomes kind of a liability, it seems like, especially come playoff time. Now, with the Washington Wizards in the Eastern Conference, shoot, he might be able to make that team into a playoff team with Bradley Beal. I mean, it's not out of the question. It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know why. I think in this particular situation, they had to move him. It wasn't going to work in Houston. It's just not the way they seem like they want to play. James Harden is still arguably the best offensive player in basketball. He needs to have the ball in order to make that work. And like I said, this trade doesn't make a whole lot of sense on either end, right?
John Wall's making a ton of money too.
Ton of money coming off of, I think, was it Achilles, I think, he tore last year or 2 years ago. So this is definitely a trade that I don't know makes any sense at all. But it gives us something to talk about, that's for sure. Let's step away, get to break. When we come back, got a countdown on the way. We're going to do the top five defenses right now in the NFL. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. The most. 5:33 on the clock. San Diego State Aztecs play host to St. Catherine in about 30 minutes down at Steve Fisher Court at Viejas Arena. Aztecs looking to continue their nice start to the season. You know, we had some beef with the top 25 for college football when the Aztecs got off to that good start. We found out that our beef was not worth it. But on the flip side, in this men's basketball team, this is a team that should be ranked right now. Scraby, they've played...
I don't know about that, actually.
They've played some good basketball to start the season.
You know, man. Chris made a great argument on Monday about this very topic, about whether or not they should be ranked. And basically what his argument was is that you're not going to see them ranked until they play Arizona State and beat Arizona State, which happens next week. So them not being ranked is not an indication of where this team is at. It's more of an indication of how many players they lost. And you can't really compare last year's team to this year's team because they don't have Malachi Flynn. They don't have KJ Fagan. They don't have the other guy from New Zealand. I always forget his name for some reason.
Yeah, it's missing me right now. It'll come to me, though.
And so you can't really compare that team to this team. So you can't say that number six team, that 30-2 team, is the same team as this team. They have to prove it to everyone that they're as good as last year.
Well, I will say they've proven just as much as everybody else has proven at this point. They have taken down a top 25 team in UCLA. They didn't just take them down.
They?
Yeah.
I mean, they did. They technically won. I know but
they definitely did.
Okay, fine. They did beat UCLA, but not many people are saying that UCLA is a ranked team right now. They're not saying that that team is really that good.
I don't care what people are saying. They were 22-21 in the polls when they came to San Diego State, and San Diego State took them down.
So you think that's good enough to get them in the top 25?
Ultimately, it is early. I'm not really worried about it too much. I think that the Aztecs in due time will be in the top 25 because I do think this is an identity that the Aztecs have as a team. And just having seen them play the first, this team could be even deeper than they were last year if things have a chance to play themselves out. So I'm looking forward to seeing that, where they go at this point. But if there was an argument to be had about them being ranked, this would be that argument right here. It'd be for the Aztec men's basketball team.
Do you think that this is a good I don't really think that the game today against St. Catherine for the men is very I don't think it's worthwhile, because what if they injure, if someone gets injured? I know you could say that about any game, but aren't you going to get a better test against your own guys in practice than, and I'm not trying to talk down St. Catharines, but we all know what's going to happen tonight, and don't you think that it would be better to play guys of the same caliber?
You know what happens sometimes, Scrape, is when you're competing against your own guys all the time, eventually you don't have the same engagement. And so, and the hard part about being hurt, I mean, these guys, they can get hurt in practice as much as they can get hurt in these games. So I don't see that being a problem. I think seeing somebody in a different uniform makes a difference a lot of times. And I know it's St. Catherine, and it's a school that not many of us have heard of. But nevertheless, it's game action. I think these kids deserve it based off of everything they've had to deal with. They deserve a chance to get out there and play. And I personally don't have a problem with them taking on St. Catherine for sure.
Okay. If you don't, I don't. If you don't, I don't.
Well, good. All right. Well, we do have a countdown to get to. However, first, let's check traffic. Here's Kelly Dennett. We do have, this is the tough part about these midweek games. I always feel like once you get into the double-digit parts of the season, week 10, 11, 12, you start seeing a lot more, like, season-ending injuries pop up during these midweek
games. That leads me
to
believe that something happened today.
Well, the Steelers fear Bud Dupree, their linebacker, who has been terrific for them all season. They fear he's torn his ACL in this Ravens game. And it just gets you back to thinking about, I think about Richard Sherman tearing his Achilles in a Thursday night game. I think, you see these midweek games, and then this one is different. They had to push it back because of COVID. But, man, you just not enough time, it seems like. And, by the way, the Steelers will turn around after playing this Wednesday game, and I believe they play Monday.
They do.
Next week. So, once you start getting late in the season, because early in the season I think the body does a pretty good job recovering even in that time frame. But as you keep beating it up and you get later into the game, later into the season, it just seems to have a much more difficult time. Guys seem to have a much more difficult time recovering fast, and I feel like you see these type of injuries come week 11, 12, 13, 14 in the season.
I used to work with a charger, and he would say that his body from week to week would know the schedule, and it would know that today's my day off, tomorrow's my tough practice day, and then Sunday's game day. So he would know, and his body would be ready, and his body would respond. Because I asked him, like, how do you play 16 games? Like, really? Right. How do you do it? And that's what he said. So taking them out of the routine, I know it sounds like it's easy, and it should just be like they make millions of dollars, it's fine. These guys, as I've learned through working with a bunch of athletes, these guys are creatures of habit, just like anybody else. Yeah. And once you take them out of your routine, you feel weird. Playing a game on a Wednesday at 3:40 p.m. in Pittsburgh, you feel weird with no fans in the stands, and your body just isn't ready to respond after thinking I'm playing Sunday, but now I'm not playing Sunday, I'm playing on Tuesday, but now I'm not playing on Tuesday, I'm playing on Wednesday, and then now I need to get ready to play on Monday again.
Yeah, it's certainly something that I think most teams, they deal with it because it's on the schedule. But I think if you asked them, they could do without these Thursday night games, or these midweek games, I should say. All right, without further ado, let's get to our countdown. Top five defenses right now in the NFL.
Gwen and Chris like to rank things. Not college rankings, not athlete rankings.
So what's your point?
But their own rankings. And these rankings can be very serious.
Top five ways that we like potatoes.
Top five pizzas.
Top five ways to beat the heat.
I like where this is going. Giggity, giggity, giggity.
The countdown starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
It's not often we get to talk NFL defense.
We never talk NFL defense.
I don't know that we ever do, but
yeah. It
seems like it's pretty good performances over the last couple weeks defensively. Seems like a perfect time to have this top five defense conversation.
Number five.
I think I'll start first, and this is really a shout out to my co-host here.
Oh,
at
no.
Number five.
Oh, no.
It's the Miami Dolphins.
They're
yes, I know
not.
They took down the Jets last week, but listen. This team is well-coached, as you heard Nick Costos say earlier. It's a well-coached team. They do a lot of the little things. They play special teams well. I think they get to the quarterback well. And I think they turn the ball over. They are ball hawks over in Miami. So I have them right now as the number five defense. I know, Chris, if you're listening right now, you got just had to put a pretty good smile on your face.
Or he's worried that you just jinxed him for the rest of the year.
No, check that. He actually is so pissed off that I said that because he is 100% worried now that they're going to give up 30 points in this next game.
He's like, Tony White, did you say that? Now Scraby's going to have something to hold over my head for the rest of the season. Yeah, so. All right, you had the Dolphins for number five. My number five defense is going to come in the form of the Indianapolis Colts. I would put them higher. I would put them higher, but they've struggled the last few weeks, and they lost a big-time game over the weekend to the Titans, and they gave up a lot of points. I like what I see, and we actually, every time I see them play, I look for Bobby Okereke because he was on the show when the Aztecs played Stanford a few years ago. And he was a good interview, and so I've always paid attention to him, and I like what he's doing there. But they have a lot of they're just a tough defense. That Indianapolis team is tough. And I think that they can get better, but right now they're number five.
Number four.
Yeah, I'm going to take the team that you had at number five and stick them at number four. At one point in the season, I would have had them at number one. But they've been a little banged up. DeForest Buckner missed last week's game, I believe, due to COVID-like symptoms. So that is part of the reason why Henry had a field day running through the middle of that line is because there was no Buckner. They were missing, I think, two guys on defense that are pretty important to their D. And as you mentioned, they were gashed for 346 yards, 35 points in a first half against the Titans. But that was with a, you know, not as they didn't have their full boat of guys. But when they do, this defense is as good as any. They are four for me.
My number four defense in the NFL, top five defenses, is going to be the Chicago Bears. They have no one on the other side of the ball on the offense for their
no
team.
One.
So it's pretty much
basically for somebody to show up.
Exactly. It's basically them versus everyone because they're not going to get points from their offense. And you got Khalil Mack. You got a lot of different guys on the defense that are really good. Khalil Mack himself is just a beast. He's so good. He's not the best player in the NFL defensively. I think that goes to Aaron Donald. But for my number four, it's going to be the Bears. That's the only reason that they have five wins.
Do you remember how mad? Do you remember how mad people were when the
John Gruden
traded
yeah.
Khalil? Oh my! They were so pissed. I think if you look at it right now, you'd say the Raiders got the better end of that deal right now because Khalil Mack is still Khalil Mack, but the Raiders are have a chance to get in the playoffs and do something.
Exactly. They got a lot of young names that they've drafted in the place of where Khalil Mack's picks came from. So
That's right.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I do remember that. Everybody's like, what is John Gruden doing?
This is just the stupidest move. Why did they hire this old guy to come back?
Exactly.
And it's like, geez.
It's the new NFL. This guy doesn't know what the new NFL is. But he's doing okay. He's doing okay.
He's doing all right. He's doing all right.
Number three.
Did you already hit it?
I did, but I'll hit again.
Number three.
Thank you. This goes to the Los Angeles Rams. Yeah, this defense is... You mentioned Aaron Donald being the best player, best defensive player in the league. You could argue Jalen Ramsey is fighting with him for that number one spot. It might be one of the few teams that has as dominant as an interior defender as an Aaron Donald and as the number one corner in the game, I think, in Jalen Ramsey. They cause a lot of havoc. You know, A, that whoever you're throwing to isn't going to be open very long, and you're not going to have that much time to throw to him with Aaron Donald pushing the line. We saw this happen against Tampa with Tom Brady. Could not set his feet because the line was right up underneath him almost every snap. And that causes most quarterbacks, not just the GOAT and Tom Brady, but every quarterback, if there's people around their feet, you better believe there's going to be some inaccurate passes thrown and probably some picks. And that's what the Rams do so much better than I think most of the teams in the league. And it's not just Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. They have cornerbacks in the slot on the other side that I think are coming into their own. This team is a team to be reckoned with coming down the stretch.
Unfortunately, you're right. They are. They are.
I'm sorry. They're in the Niners division. I apologize for that.
It's okay because the Niners swept them this year, so they have all the glory on their side. But I'm going to go with my number three top NFL defense is going to be the Rams as well. Jalen Ramsey, when I was watching him on Monday Night Football against the Bucs, as you were just referencing, which, by the way, I love Brian Griese and Louis Riddick. And
I do, too. I think they do really well.
Yeah, me too. And one of the things they were pointing out was all the things that Jalen Ramsey does off the ball that helps keep the defense strong. And it's just simple things like push a guy out towards the sideline so that the boundary is there and they can't throw it to him, or switch on guys. And Aaron Donald is the best defensive player in the NFL right now. But their defense is only giving up 6.2 yards per pass attempt, which is a recipe for a winner every time. You're not giving up big chunks of yardage. You're just giving up little slants and things of that nature, little button hooks. But I really like what I see from the Rams defense. And I can't believe the 49ers beat them twice.
You know, it's interesting because they don't give up much, and it's a perfect formula. Like, they don't give up much defensively, and they got a pretty explosive offense. So, like, if you can't score against their defense, or you can't make it difficult, they going to run away with most games is how it comes down. All right.
Number two
on my list. If you'd have talked to me back in, I don't know, week four or five, I would have laughed in your face if you'd have told me this was the number two defense in the league. But it's the New Orleans Saints, man. Once again, after an abysmal, they were giving up points at an alarming rate early in the season. Now, all of a sudden, this is one of the best defenses in the league. And it's rounding into the form at the perfect time, right? You're going to get Drew Brees back at some point. You imagine that the way that the Saints want to win games is with their defense. You know, you have an Hall of Fame quarterback that's going to get you in the spots you need to be, but you don't need to be as explosive as you once were because this defense is so sound. They do everything well. They defend the perimeter. They defend the interior. Their corners are on the same page. And listen, that defensive front is where their strong suit is. And as long as that team is playing, that defense is playing. Now, last year, remember, this defense was rolling. Then they had like three injuries right before the playoffs started, and I think that's why they ended up getting beat early. If they can stay healthy, this team is a team to be the team to watch for sure.
It definitely is, and it was a very easy game for them on Sunday against the Broncos.
It was. I needed that win in our pick'em game. I went ahead and took a gamble and took Denver, and it didn't work out.
Not good. Not good. Not good at all. My number two defense, we saw them today, and it's the Ravens. They're kind of taking a hit there with the injuries, but they're always really good. They're always keeping their team in the game. And today they definitely kept the Ravens in the game because they only held the Steelers to 19 points. I just think the Ravens, every single year, Wink Martindale, I love that name. Wink Martindale always has a great defense ready to go, and no different this year. So.
Number one.
Yeah, Wink. Wink is good. Wink is good. Number one, I can't believe you still got Baltimore. I mean, their defense has been beat up.
It has, but they're still keeping their team in the game.
Yeah, I mean, Tomlin did criticize his team. He called them junior varsity today. So I don't know if he's saying that the defense was that good or his offense was that bad today. But my number one team is the Steel Curtain, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, obviously, they possibly lost Bud Dupree, who's one of their premier pass rushers. But this defense with J.J. Watt, or is it J.J.?
T.J.
Or is that his brother? T.J., excuse me. T.J. Watt. This defense, I mean, this is kind of like the Steeler defense we've all been accustomed to seeing. Like, they just do everything well. They play their zones. They get to the quarterback. And that hasn't changed this year. Actually, you could argue that this is one of the better defenses they've had, I would say, since Shazier was still roaming still roaming the linebacking position for him. They seem to have finally gotten back to that point. And this is why this undefeated streak is a real thing. This team could be a serious force. And right now, it's looking like we're going to see a Kansas City-Pittsburgh AFC championship right now. And that defense is going to play a large part in that.
Yes, my number one defense is as well the Steelers. You can't go 11-0 without having a great defense. Your offense is going to struggle every once in a while against other great defenses, but I have them in fantasy football, and I know how good they are this year because they have pick sixes, they have tons of fumbles, they have tons of sacks, they don't give up that many yards. They're just the stereotypical Steelers defense, and you might think Steelers, both of you have the Steelers number one. Look at their numbers, because their numbers are incredible right now, and they keep going up. I put the Colts down in the list, and if you would have asked me maybe a month ago, I would have said the Colts are the best.
That would
have been
the number one.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I would have said the same thing.
Yeah, and they keep making their way up through the rankings. They didn't start the year as one of the best defenses in the NFL. They started the year as a very good defense, but they proved that their new additions and just, if you're a Watt brother, apparently you're just amazing at football, because they always say the motor, you know what I'm talking about? Their motor. And it just basically means that they just keep going and going and going.
Yeah, like there's no, like a lot of times a guy, especially pass rushers, you keep blocking them, eventually they just kind of fall into the block.
Just like, all right, well, but the play went away from me. But no, TJ Watt's running like 70 yards down the field.
that can be demoralizing for your opponent. Because that means you got to keep your motor going as long as his is going, and that's not easy for everybody. But
I'm glad
we both agree. Steelers, number one defense in the league right now, at least according to myself and Scraby. All right, the big news that came down in this hour was the Rockets and Wizards have agreed to trade Russell Westbrook from Houston to Washington for John Wall.
I was going to say, are you waiting for me?
You were supposed to finish that.
John Wall and a first-round pick.
There you go. So not sure what that move means for either team. Of course, our Aztecs will be tipping off in about 6 minutes, and we'll see. They're taking on – give me the team again.
The St. Catherine Firebirds.
St. Catherine Firebirds. Right out here in Encinitas. So this is the place that Scraby drives by often and never had noticed that they were there, huh?
I'm going to give a what up on the way home.
you should give a what up on the way home. All right. That's going to do it for the 5 o'clock hour. We got the happy hour on the way, though, when we return. Scraby, what we got coming up?
We have our good NFL buddy, Brent Sobleski of Bleacher Report. We caught up with him earlier, and he did not disappoint, as usual.
All right, Brett Sobliski on the way. This is Gwynn and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.